Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Musab. Now, as you know, or perhaps you don't know, we have been doing the kitab known as Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, which is better known as Al-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. We have done basically the first full chapter of the kitab, which dealt with the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, before going any further, for those of you who want to follow up the lesson from the kitab itself, if you have the book in hard copy, well and good. If you don't have it in the hard copy, you can download it via Ummah Forum. You can see in the Ummah Radio subsection, there will be a thread there called Monday Aqeedah Hadith Class. And in there, you will find a download link to the kitab, which you can then download and follow up. And in fact, we are using that particular print of the book in this lesson. So if you download that copy, you can follow up directly where we are reading. Okay, second point is, if you have any questions about anything in the class, you can send in your questions via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. Okay, so like I say, we had done the first chapter of the kitab, which dealt with the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and now we will start with the second chapter, which deals with the Khatamun Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then, without further ado, we can start. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. He says, Babu ma ja'a fi khatam al-nubuwati wa fihi thamaniyatu ahaditha. The chapter regarding the khatam al-nubuwa, the seal of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this chapter there are 8 ahadith. So the first hadith, he says, حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد حدثنا حاتم بن إسماعيل عن الجعد بن عبد الرحمن قال سمعت سائب بن يزيد رضي الله عنه يقول. So قتيبة بن سعيد, who like I mentioned before, very famous narrator of hadith, he reports the hadith from حاتم بن إسماعيل, who reported from الجعد بن عبد الرحمن, who in turn said, I heard حضرت سائب بن يزيد رضي الله عنه saying, ذهبت بي خالتي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن ابن أختي واجع. He says, my aunt took me to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. At the time, Hadrat Saib was very young. As you can say, before, under 10 years old, he was a very young age at this particular moment in time. So he says, my auntie took me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she told, and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my nephew is ill. Now the ulama differ on what illness exactly he had. Some ulama mentioned that he had a illness in his leg, some say he had a headache, or whatever illness it may have been. The reason they mention all these different things is because of the continuation of the hadith wherein what happened. He says, فَمَسَحَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَأْسِي وَدَعَى لِي بِالْبَرَكَةِ. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiped my head and he made dua for blessings for me. Now this wiping of the head is where the difference of opinion of the ulama stems from, because they say it was a headache, therefore obviously, as you would be naturally understand, you pass your hand over the head, which is the, so to say, the painful spot, and through doing so Allah removed the headache from him. Other ulama say no, it was also a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as of other generous people as well, kind-hearted people, that they would wipe the heads of, as you can say, orphan children, and even all children for that matter. So other ulama say that no, he didn't have a headache, but rather it was like the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this, and that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his head. But in any case, he says, وَدَعَى لِي بِالْبَرَكَةِ, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua of barakah for me, for barakah, for blessings. Then, وَتَوَضَّأَ فَشَرِبْتُ مِنْ وَضُوئِهِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu, and I drank from his leftover water. He has another point over here. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make wudu? There's a difference of opinion. One group of ulama, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just happened to make wudu, and then this was the leftover water, and Hadrat Sa'ib radiallahu anhu, as a child, he went and he drank the water. That's one view of the ulama. Other ulama say no, that we know also, the left, anything that comes, as you can say, the leftover water or the, the blood or anything of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a cure. So, this of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing wudu, it could have been also in order for him to drink the water, so that may be a means of curing him. So, because of these two mentions, the wiping of the head and the making of the wudu, that is why the ulama differ on what exactly was the reason over here. But in any case, then he says, وَقُمْتُ خَلْفَ ظَهْرِهِ, and I stood behind his back. فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْخَاتَمِ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ, and I looked at the seal of prophethood which was between his shoulder blades. فَإِذَا هُوَ مِثْلَ زِرِّ الْحَجَلَةِ, and this خاتم النبوة, the seal of prophethood, it was like a bird's egg. Now this refers to, as you can say, a pigeon's egg in size. It was not a big bulging sort of thing, but rather it was the size of a pigeon egg. There's many ahadith in this chapter, and the narrations which are here are, so to say, the authentic narrations. In other books, or rather, as you would find in the Shuruhat, the Sharah of the Ahadith, you will find there different narrations and different explanations and interpretations of the ulama. So one thing they speak about is, what this Khatam al-Nubuwa, this seal of prophethood, was there anything, as you can say, written on it, or was it just a piece of flesh like that? So the ulama are of both views. There are some ulama who say that, like the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Muhammad Rasulullah, but obviously written Allah Rasul Muhammad, and even incidentally on this point itself, how the ring was written, it will come inshallah in the chapter of rings, but so not jumping the gun there. But in any case, what was written on that ring, some ulama say that this was also on the seal of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other ulama say no, there was nothing written on it, nothing authentic has been reported, but rather it was, so to say, this piece of portion of flesh as it stood itself, that was the sign to prove that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final Nabi, as was mentioned in the previous scriptures. So that is what the Khatam al-Nubuwa was about. Continuing on, the next hadith, he says, حدثنا سعيد بن يعقوب الطالقاني حدثنا أيوب بن جابر عن سماك بن حرب عن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال رأيت الخاتمة بين كتفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غدة حمراء مثل بيضة الحمامة. Sa'id ibn Ya'qub al-Taliqani, he narrates from Ayyub ibn Jabir, who narrates from Simak ibn Harb, who narrates from Hadrat Jabir ibn Samurah radiyallahu anhu, who said that I saw the khatam, the seal of prophethood, between the shoulder blades of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was a piece of red flesh like a pigeon's egg. Baydat al-hamama is a pigeon's egg. So yeah, he just uses different wordings, but the meaning is the same, that it was a small piece of flesh located between the shoulder blades of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is that hadith. So moving on to the next hadith, he says, حدثنا أبو مصعب المدني حدثنا يوسف بن الماجشون عن أبيه عن عاصم بن عمر بن قتادة عن جدته رميثة رضي الله عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو أشاء أن أقبل الخاتم الذي بين كتفيه من قربه لفعلته. يقول لسعد بن معاذ يوم مات اهتز له عرش الرحمن. This hadith is reported by Abu Mus'ab al-Madani, who reports it from Yusuf ibn al-Majishun, who reports it from his father, who reports it from Asim ibn Umar ibn Qatada, who reports it from his grandmother, whose name was Rumaytha radiyallahu anha, who said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying. Now, this sami'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the original part. Then she adds in an additional piece here, and it's because of this additional piece, in fact, that this hadith has come in this chapter. But this additional piece is, as you can say, off topic to the actual hadith itself. Because basically what the hadith is saying, سَمِعَتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ يَقُولُ لِسَعَدِ بْنِ مُعَاذٍ يَوْمَ مَاتَ اِهْتَزَّ لَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. That is how it should actually be. But she is now describing the situation at the time, and therefore she puts in, وَلَوْ أَشَاءُ أَنْ أُقَبِّلَ الْخَاتَمَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ مِنْ قُرْبِهِ لَفَعَلْتُ. This is all her words here that she says. So to translate, she says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, and now she describes the position that she was in. She say, if I wished to kiss the Khatam al-Nubuwa, which was between his shoulder blades, I could have done so close Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to me at the time, or rather how close I was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said these words. So obviously she was basically just behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time. And the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, she said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying on the day when Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu had passed away, اهتز له عرش الرحمن, that the arsh, the throne of the Most Merciful, has shaken as a result of the death of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. Now moving on, next hadith. He says, حدثنا أحمد بن عبدة الضبي وعلي بن حجر وغير واحد قالوا حدثنا عيسى بن يونس عن عمر بن عبد الله مولى غفرة قال حدثني إبراهيم بن محمد من ولد علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال كان علي إذا وصف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكر الحديث بطوله وقال بين كتفيه خاتم النبوة وهو خاتم النبيين. Now this hadith is reported from Ahmad ibn Abd al-Dabbi. It's also reported by Ali ibn Hujr, and it's also reported by others as well. So Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, on this hadith itself, he's got it from more than three different chains. All these people, they narrate the hadith from Isa ibn Yunus, who reports it from Umar ibn Abdullah, who was the freed slave of Ghufra. And Ghufra, like I mentioned in one of the previous classes, was the sister of Hazrat Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu. So this Umar ibn Abdullah, he was the freed slave of Ghufra, and he said that Ibrahim ibn Muhammad, who is from the offspring of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu, he said. Now Ibrahim ibn Muhammad, this is the grandson of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu. He is Ibrahim ibn Muhammad, this is Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, and obviously, like I mentioned last time, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he was the son of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu from a woman from the tribe of Bani Hanifa, not the son of Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anha. So Ibrahim is the son of this son of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu. So he reports this, and he says that when Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu, when he used to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then فَذَكَرَ الْحَدِيثَ بِطُولِهِ, he mentioned the hadith in its entirety, and this is basically referring to the lengthy hadith which we had previously mentioned in the first chapter, wherein on the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu was mentioned there, of like how the hair and how the complexion and everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, that whole lengthy hadith. He say all of this Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu would mention, and additionally he mentions وَقَالَ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيِّ خَاتَمُ النُّبُوَّةِ وَهُوَ خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, that between his shoulder blades was this seal of prophethood, and he is the final messenger, the seal of all prophets. So this piece of flesh, it is known as the seal of prophethood, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he is the seal of all prophets. Meaning there are no Anbiya alayhi wa sallam to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith. He says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا أبو عاصم حدثنا عزرة بن ثابت قال حدثني علباء علباء بن أحمد اليشكري قال حدثني أبو زيد عمر بن أخضب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا زيد أدن مني فامسح ظهري فمسحت ظهره فوقعت أصابعي على الخاتم قلت وما الخاتم قال شعرات مجتمعات. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Bashar, again another very famous narrator of hadith, who reports it in turn from Abu Asim, who narrates it from Azra ibn Thabit, who narrates it from Ilba ibn Ahmad al-Yashkuri, who said that Abu Zayd, Amr ibn Akhtab al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, "Oh Abu Zayd, come closer and massage my back." So I massaged his back, فَوَقَعَتْ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى الْخَاتَمِ. So while massaging the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he say, my fingers fell upon the خاتم النبوة, this seal of prophethood. Then قُلْتُ. قُلْتُ, this person who is saying this, who is asking this question, he's basically saying, yeah, and what is this خاتم, what is the seal of prophethood? So the person saying this is the narrator, Ilba ibn Ahmad al-Yashkuri. So he's saying, I asked Hazrat Abu Zayd, Amr ibn Akhtab radiyallahu anhu, that what is this, what was this خاتم, the seal of prophethood? So Hazrat Amr ibn Akhtab radiyallahu anhu, he said, sha'aratun mujtama'at, it was a collection of hair. Okay, this another hadith which is coming here, so I'll wait until everything before I... Okay, let me mention it now one time. If you look at the previous hadith, it mentioned that it was a piece of flesh, but now we hear that in this hadith that it was a collection of hair. There's no contradiction between the different hadith. What it means is that it was a piece of flesh, and around this piece of flesh there was hair. It's not one, it has to be one only or the other, but rather it was a piece of flesh and it also had hair around it at the same time. So when Hazrat Amr ibn Akhtab radiyallahu anhu, he described it, he spoke from the hair perspective, while the other sahaba, they mentioned from the flesh perspective, but it had both hair and there was it was flesh and there was hair around it as well. Moving on to the next hadith, he says, حدثنا أبو عمار الحسين بن حريث الخزاعي حدثنا علي بن حسين بن واقد حدثني أبي حدثني عبد الله بن بريدة رضي قال سمعت أبي بريدة رضي الله عنه يقول جاء سلمان الفارسي رضي الله عنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قدم المدينة بمائدة عليها رطب فوضعت بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا سلمان ما هذا فقال صدقة عليك وعلى أصحابك. Lengthy hadith, so we'll read it in portions. This hadith is reported by Abu Ammar al-Husayn ibn Hurayth al-Khuza'i, who reports it from Ali ibn Husayn ibn Waqid, who says, my father narrated to me who narrates from Abdullah ibn Burayda. And Abdullah ibn Burayda, he in turn narrates it from his father, who was Hazrat Abu Burayda radiyallahu anhu. He narrated from his father, whose name was Burayda radiyallahu anhu, who said that Hazrat Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, this is when he just came to Medina, when he was, before he had accepted Islam. So he said that Hazrat Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came first to Medina, and he came with a table spread which had fresh ripe dates on it. So he placed it down, it was placed down before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Salman, what is this? So he replied, he said, Sadaqatun alayka wa ala ashabika. It is sadaqa, it is charity upon you and upon your companions. So faqala irfa'ha fa inna la na'kulu sadaqa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, take it away because we do not eat charity. Now this year, the reason for this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Ahlul Bayt as well, up till to this day, they, money like zakah, myself and yourself, ordinary people, if we take zakah, it will be permissible. But the zakah is not to be, and as you can say, all charity forms is not to be given to the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for ordinary people, there's no problem. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, we, meaning we of the Ahlul Bayt, we don't eat sadaqah. That's why we find in many other ahadith as well that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not eat a date because he don't know was it given as sadaqah or was it a gift or what was it. When there was a doubt, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would abstain because of this reason of not eating any charity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, take it away. So فرفعها فجاء بالغدي بمثله قال فرفعها فجاء الغد بمثله. So he took it away and he came the next day again with a similar thing. فوضعه بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما هذا يا سلمان فقال هدية لك. The next day when he came, he placed it down again in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam again asked him that what is this, O Salman? So then he replied, he said, it is a gift for you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here we see that if you give a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or to any of the Ahlul Bayt, it will be permissible. But not as your zakah or your sadaqah, then it's not correct. So the first time he brought it was as sadaqah. The second time he brought it, it was just as you can say, a personal gift for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه أبسطوا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told the Sahaba who were present, basically gather around and have something to eat. So we see again that when, despite the fact, obviously Rasul, it was a personal gift. In the previous hadith he had said, it is for you and your companions. But here he came and he said, it is for you. Meaning it is specifically only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's, as you could say, a personal gift. Not meant for all and sundry. That now everybody has a share in it. No, it was the belonging, the gift given specifically to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shared it and invited everybody to come and have something to eat, and not as you would, as we today would do, take the whole thing home, give to nobody, hide it away where nobody can see it, and things like that. So no, but rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, come close, sit down and eat. So then Hazrat Salman radiyallahu anhu, he said, ثم نظر إلى الخاتم على ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فآمن به. So it's mentioned here that Hazrat Salman radiyallahu anhu, he saw the khatam, the seal of prophethood on the back of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, so he accepted Islam. وكان لليهود فاشتراه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا وكذا درهما على أن يغرس نخلا فيعمل سلمان فيه حتى تطعمه. So Hazrat Salman رضي الله عنه, he was a slave at the time being owned by a Jew. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم bought him for such and such amount of money, and with the condition that he should plant X amount of date palms, and that Hazrat Salman radiyallahu anhu will work in that garden until it gives fruit. So فغرس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النخيل إلا نخلة واحدة غرسها عمر رضي الله عنه فحملت النخلة فحملت النخل من عامها ولم تحمل النخلة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شأن هذه النخلة فقال عمر يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا غرسها فنزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فغرسها فحملت من عامها. So he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم planted the tree, all the trees, this whole as you can say, that a row of trees was all planted alone by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except one tree, and that tree was planted by Hadrat Umar radiyallahu anhu. Obviously, nobody is sitting back and doing nothing. So Hadrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he decided to take a tree and plant it as well. But he says, فحملت النخل من عامها. All the palm trees, they all bore fruit that same year. And this is something which does not normally happen. Basically, you getting a tree growing from small, big, and getting out dates and everything, it don't happen overnight. So he says that all these palm trees, the very same year, they bore fruit. Then there was one tree left over which did not bear any fruit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what's the problem with this tree? Like, what's so different about this one compared to everything else? So Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, فقال عمر يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا غرستها فنزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فغرسها فحملت من عامها. So in this hadith, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, what's the problem with this date palm? Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ana gharastuha. I was the one who had planted it. That's why this had happened. فَنَزَعَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam uprooted and removed this tree. فَغَرَسَهَا فَحَمَلَتْ مِنْ عَامِهَا. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replanted it, and فحملت من عامها, the same year it bore fruit. Now here is another point, apart from everything else as well, is that some people mistake, or rather I should say the Kafir Shias, they try and put their own batil conclusions, concocted stuff they come out with this, that it was because Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu planted it that therefore the things didn't come out. It don't work that way. This was a special miracle Allah decided to let take place at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously, if Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu was also just planting a tree and giving tree was giving the fruit the very same year, contrary to as his normal habit amongst trees, then what's the difference between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Therefore, Allah gave for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this particular miracle that all the trees gave fruit the very same year. Okay, so he had mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken out the tree, replanted it, and then it had given fruit as well. Moving on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا بشير بن الوضاح حدثنا أبو عقيل الدورقي عن أبي نضرة العوفي رضي الله عنه قال سألت أبا سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه عن خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال كان في ظهره بضعة ناشزة. Muhammad ibn Bashar narrates from Bishr ibn al-Waddah, who narrates from Abu Aqil al-Dawraqi, who narrates from Abu Nadra al-Awfi, who said that I asked Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu about the Khatam al-Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I asked Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu regarding the seal of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, فَقَالَ كَانَ فِي ظَهْرِهِ بَضْعَةٌ نَاشِزَةٌ, that it was on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a raised piece of flesh. And now finally, the last hadith of this particular chapter. So he says, حدثنا أبو الأشعث أحمد بن المقدام العجلي البصري أخبرنا حماد بن زيد عن عاصم الأحول عن عبد الله بن سرجيس المزني قال رضي الله عنه قال أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في ناس من أصحابه فدرت هكذا من خلفه فعرف الذي أريد فألقى الرداء عن ظهره فرأيت موضع الخاتم على كتفيه مثل الجمع حولها خيلان كأنها ثآليل. Okay, I'll read the hadith in portions. This hadith is reported by Abu al-Ash'ath, Ahmad ibn al-Miqdam al-Ajli al-Basri, who reported from Hamad ibn Zayd, who reported from Asim al-Ahwal, from Abdullah ibn Sarjis al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, who in turn he said, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was in a gathering of his companions. فَدُرْتُ هَكَذَا I went around him like this. فَعَرَفَ الَّذِي أُرِيدُ So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam perceived what my purpose is for coming to the back. فألقى الرداء عن ظهره He removed his shawl from his back. فرأيت موضع الخاتم على كتفيه So I saw the place of the خاتم on his, or rather between his shoulder blades. مثل الجمع It was like a closed palm. This is to explain that it was a raised piece of flesh. He says, حولها خيلان There were some moles around it. كأنها ثآليل As though it was warts. So he says, فرجعت حتى استقبلته فقلت غفر الله لك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ولك فقال القوم استغفر لك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال نعم ولكم ثم ترى هذه الآية واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات. So he says that I فرجعت حتى استقبلته I returned until I met him. فقلت غفر الله لك May Allah forgive you أو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Then فقال ولك Then رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said And to you as well So he said May Allah forgive you for all your sins أو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Even though رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is معصوم and sinless But obviously, these du'as are there to teach us lessons. So in any case, he said yes. وَلَكُمْ ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ That, and for you people as well. And then he recited this ayah. That, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ That you should seek forgiveness on behalf of yourself, your Muslim and your non-Muslim, and seek forgiveness for your sin and for the believers, believing men and believing women. And obviously we know that, like I mentioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sinless. So this seek forgiveness for your sin, that is basically, as you can say, an irshad, a directive from Allah to us actually, that we are the ones who should be seeking forgiveness for our sins. But the order, the command is being given through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order so that we may act upon it. So that is the last and the final hadith in this chapter regarding the Khatam al-Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will stop on this point here. Next time, inshallah, we will continue and start the third chapter. Okay, There's actually a lot that can be spoken about. You can speak for hours, for days actually, for months even if you want to, on this kitab itself, the amount of knowledge it contains, and how much can be spoken and broken up like that. For example, if we were to just take the story of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, he came a very long way from the fire worshippers in Iran to the Jews and the Christians and everyone that he had gone through before eventually coming across to Islam and everything as we know the high and lofty and great status of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. So there's a lot that can be spoken, but to speak that would take hours on end, like I say. So we'll stick more towards the basics as we have been continuing on, and inshallah, if there's anything specific else, we will mention it. But until then, inshallah, we will end here on this point, and we will continue not next week Monday, but the Monday thereafter, because as you would know, one Monday we do Aqidah, and one Monday we do Hadith. So this Monday we have done Hadith, so therefore next Monday, inshallah, we will be doing Aqidah again. So until then, tomorrow night, inshallah, Tuesday, same time, same place, 8 PM GMT on Ummah Radio, we will be doing the Hanafi Fiqh class. And obviously Wednesday being the Arabic class, and Thursday being the Islamic live Islamic question and answers, and Saturday again in turn for the tafsir class. So until then, we will end here and we say wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.